another in our series of podcasts on enduring ideas, classic business strategy frameworks. For each framework, we talk to a McKinsey expert who can speak to its origins, utility, and continued relevance. Today, we address the three horizons for growth. As companies mature, they often face declining growth as innovation gives way to inertia. In order to achieve consistent levels of growth throughout their corporate lifetimes, companies must attend to existing businesses while still considering areas they can grow in the future. Featured in the book The Alchemy of Growth by Merdad Bagai, Stephen Coley, and David White, the Three Horizons framework provides a structure for companies to assess potential opportunities for growth without neglecting performance in the present. Horizon 1 represents those core businesses most readily identified with the company name and those that provide the greatest profits and cash flow. Horizon 2 encompasses emerging opportunities, including rising entrepreneurial ventures likely to generate substantial profits in the future, but ones that could require considerable investment. Horizon 3 contains ideas for profitable growth down the road. For instance, small ventures such as research projects, pilot programs, or minority stakes in new businesses. Companies must manage businesses along all three horizons concurrently. The framework continues to be useful, especially in uncertain times. The immediacy of concerns around Horizon 1 businesses can easily overwhelm other efforts important to the future of a company. C-suite leaders can use the Three Horizons model as a blueprint for balancing attention to and investments in both current performance and opportunities for growth. McKinsey Director Steve Coley talks about the Three Horizons for Growth.
The Three Horizons framework is a very simple one, and that's part of its power. This framework emerged from two different strands of thought as we were doing research into what propelled good growth companies. The first was this notion of S-curves of business life. How at the end, the very beginning, there's a lot of investment and very little progress, and then there's a period of accelerating growth. And at the top of the S, revenue and profit growth slows down or declines. And the second strand of thought was that more often than not, companies that had been growing for a long period of time were reinvigorating their portfolios through some kind of a weed, seed, and feed process. And so we put those two together. And if you actually add up S-curves for different time frames, you get what looks to be like the Three Horizon framework. People who implement this framework have a common language that you can use from top to bottom of the organization to describe how they're investing and preparing themselves for growth. It does take a different kind of leadership or an organizational approach to make it work. The same performance metrics and organizational style for Horizon 1 businesses are not the same that are appropriate for Horizon 2 and Horizon 3. It is important to differentiate the way you manage the initiatives in each one of these horizons. Another aspect is that you need to manage all three of these horizons concurrently, as opposed to the norm where 99% of the focus of the organization is on the Horizon 1 core businesses. Counterintuitively, we found that the initiatives in Horizons 2 and 3 need more senior management and even CEO attention than what you would commonly expect. Initiatives in Horizons 2 and 3 are the ones that are oftentimes spending money and sucking up cash flow. The organization will inevitably starve these initiatives and not make resources available to them in order to make their annual budget. Only with very senior leadership can you overcome those instinctive organizational attitudes towards starving what is going to be ultimately the future of the company. The clearest example of the value of this framework in my personal experience is a large technology company that found that they were actually spending all of their time on Horizon 1 and Horizon 3 and neglecting Horizon 2. They were intensely focused on managing their core businesses and trying to get the most out of them. And they had an enormous number of initiatives and experiments that were only very loosely coordinated, if at all, in Horizon 3. They knew they had to begin to take control of all the initiatives in Horizon 3 and start clustering them and move some of them as quickly as possible into Horizon 2 so they actually had some commercial viability. If the organization is not managing these things in a concurrent way, you're not preparing for your future.
What specifically does time mean on the x-axis? Can you take us through each horizon with respect to that axis?
The x-axis is the time frame, and the time frame moves to the right in terms of the timing of the significant impact on the company's overall profits and cash flow. It measures the immediacy or lack thereof, the contribution of initiatives in each horizon to current market value. So the closest to the y-axis is Horizon 1. Those are the core businesses which are producing the vast majority of our profits and cash flow today. Horizon 2 initiatives are initiatives that are gaining steam. They have proven themselves to have real opportunity and promise. And in general, you would expect these to produce very significant contributions to the company in the 3 to 5 year time frame. Horizon 3 are much more fledgling initiatives, and their time frame for contributing might be more in the 5 to 12 year time frame. They're clustered around 3, 4, 5 different themes, providing some focus and some cross-learning for the initiatives. A theme that people have been focusing on for quite some time is the whole notion of mobility. Another theme might be the emergence of nanotechnology in creating lighter, stronger materials. Or a theme could be the emergence of a near middle class in Asia. When you apply the three horizon framework to any business, the shape of the arcs will be determined largely by the nature of the industry in which they compete. Short cycle industries will have very short, compact arcs. A long cycle industry like the pharmaceutical industry would have very broad arcs. That is almost entirely driven by the nature of the industry, the nature of the discovery and development and marketing introduction and or regulatory if it's involved, processes that pertain to that industry.
What does the y-axis represent and how is it measured through each horizon?
The y-axis is value creation, which you can also just simplify and say it's profit. The source of value creation of the core businesses in Horizon 1 is superior execution. These are businesses that you're trying to run better than anybody else and at the same time extend their life by continuing to innovate within the core businesses. The source of value creation in Horizon 2 initiative is what we call positional advantage, that you are taking advantage of a new opportunity and you're trying to gain a significantly stronger position relative to your competitors. In several instances, organizations that have used this framework have found that much of their company's value actually derived from relatively small businesses that they had in Horizon 2 because the market gave them much higher, if you will, P.E. ratios because of the prospective future performance of these businesses. And then the source of value creation in Horizon 3 is what we call insight and foresight. These are initiatives that you believe will have potential because of evolution of technology, evolution of customer buying, evolution of the globalization of the business, whatever it is. The initiatives in Horizon 3 we used to refer to as lots of little experiments that were probably not going to have a good hit rate. That tends to connote more of a venture capital model than we really think makes sense. What we've learned is that companies that are successful in managing their Horizon 3 initiatives tend to have lots of experiments, but they're clustered around 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 themes, depending upon the size of the company. So the sources of value creation in each of the horizons is different, and it reinforces again how the businesses need to be managed and how they need to be managed differently. I might move on from there to talk about the metrics that one would expect to be applied to the businesses in Horizon 1 and the initiatives in Horizon 2 and 3. Obviously, in Horizon 1, you have a very strong performance focus. Your metrics are profit, return on invested capital, and cash flow. You tend to have very experienced business managers who can manage the business to get the most out of it, and you use very traditional financial planning and control processes. In Horizon 2, you have a much more entrepreneurial environment. Your metrics tend to be more on revenue and net present value because great entrepreneurs know that the measure of success is, do we have a customer? You want people who are more entrepreneurial leading them. They're business builders. And the processes you use for these have to be much more flexible budgets and some agreed funding commitments and focus on milestones. In Horizon 3, we're trying to create a privileged position in a new emerging technology or business opportunity or whatever. The metrics tend to be more exclusively milestone-based, more market-oriented, and you look for commercial progress as opposed to just technological progress. The kinds of people in Horizon 3 are champions, passionate people, visionary people, and the processes are much more surprisingly oriented towards frequent supervision by very senior leadership.
This has been another in the series of McKinsey podcasts on enduring ideas, classic business strategy frameworks that were created or influenced by McKinsey consultants.